Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Do it.
He's doing it. It's live.
All right. Welcome.
God damn it.
I was trying to do the Collinsworth roll in. Anyways, guys, listen, week three was pretty good. It was pretty good. I'm talking about like off the field, not in your fantasy contest, because we got 4,200 subs now. We got another 120 subs last week.
The road to 10K.
And we're just going to keep building. And people will doubt us, but that's okay. People doubt the Titans after their 0-2 start. You know what? They came out swinging. People doubted the Swolecast lineup in the FanDuel, whatever it was in. And you know what? It won someone like $1,000. At least that's what their screenshot said. In the
they played the early only. They were smart.
They did play the early only?
Yeah.
So the whole point is people may doubt, but that's okay. There are doubters and there are doers. And on this show, we're probably a mix of both, but that's okay. All right. The Swolecast is next here on RotoGrinders.com.
Please don't dupe me, bro.
I'm begging you, don't dupe me, bro.
It's the poop narrative.
Kitchen's been waiting to say those words.
No.
For 5 years.
All right, welcome to the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com. David Kitchen alongside Mr. Tuttle 05. Tuttle, how you doing?
Doing all right, David.
Yeah.
Getting some like messages about basketball starting up soon, and it's coming way too quick.
We're having our launch calls already internally. I couldn't believe it's happening that fast either, but it kind of creeps up on you like that. Davis, how are you doing?
You know, we're doing all right. We're
Davis, your
we're...
lighting seems sad. You seem sad. What's wrong, fella?
My lighting's fine. My lights are huge, so yeah. It's kind of hard to set it up optimally down here.
Yeah. If you need any help, just let me know.
well, your setup looks great.
Hey, yeah, right? Peter, how's it going?
Kitchen filming from Jeffrey Dahmer's basement.
Can we address the elephant in the garage? I mean, what's going on here?
So, yeah, we're moving some things around in the house, which means that the stuff that we're doing in the house has forced my home office into the detached garage. And so my... Basically, you know how, Peter, you're always like, you're such a thought leader when it comes to male-related things like work caves and man caves. Well, that's has been pushed upon. The timeline has been basically pushed up for that.
I would never say things like that that would pigeonhole us into gender normative archetypes. I actually try to avoid those, Kitchen.
Stay clear for that. As far as the demographics go. So as As far as the show goes, though, right now it's, you know, it's in the garage, but I want people to see the transformation of this this garage as the show, as the season goes along. So it's probably just me in warmer clothes as the season goes. But Peter, your setup looks really nice in your new house.
Thank you. I'm working on it. Kitchen. I'm working on it. And I do just want to pat the Swolecast collectively on the back. Yeah. Sosa, I did drop this in the hopper because the lineup we built on the show last Wednesday, I tossed that in the FanDuel million, 524,000. We finished in the top 1,000, 922nd. No tinkering, no nothing. You just play the best plays on a Wednesday. We're the only show courageous enough to set the best plays in stone on a Wednesday, and all we do is ship. I mean, this is a bankroll builder. I had like $4 in this account at the start of the season, and Swolecast approved plays have 600x my investment.
Yeah, this is 3 weeks in a row that the Swolecast, one of the two Swolecasts, has been a big time cash. So I really feel like, you know, in the early days, people looked at the Swolecast lineup as their, you know, just their cash lineup, basically. Now it is kind of their bankroll building GPP lineup so that they can play cash games.
Exactly. Yeah. We are on an absolute tear. Fade us at your own risk.
Is this financial advice?
Yeah. This is not financial advice. However, the advice that Davis gave out about, Rainmakers, was that week one or week two, Davis?
That was financial advice. That was
what cool. did I say about Rainmakers?
You said the pack, selling the pack, the first timer pack.
Oh yeah, where I gave everyone who watched the show 10 free bucks.
Yeah, it was 20. It was 20 free bucks.
My Venmo is open. You know, you can if you need it.
I'm probably gonna need it for some of the last mistakes.
Yeah, subscribe to the Patreon, boys.
As far as like last week and going into this week, Davis, how are you feeling?
You know, anytime you can get 45 combined from Ramondre and Romeo Doubs in every lineup to lock up Patrick Mahomes' 18 points, you just simply got to do it. It was just it was an all-time weird week. We can say that every week, but it was a very strange week this last week where there was only really one stack that you could have to make money, and it almost didn't matter what you had with Lamar and Mark Andrews because Kupp and Jefferson and Adams – Amon-Ra St. Brown, Stephon Diggs, they all busted. Jonathan Taylor busted. Christian McCaffrey busted. Like the optimal lineup probably left like $5,000 on the floor. And that's kind of I'm sort of interested in that because scoring league wide is down. We're at a 10-year low in terms of points scored. Unders are 60. So totals 60% of the unders have hit this year. And we just don't really think that way when we're sitting there building our lineups, you know, in a more micro sense.
And it's because the Fed also just increased the running back by committee rates. Those are up almost a full point. And
yeah, another 100 basis points.
It's hurting the overall fantasy economy.
So this is something we've talked about internally as well. By the way, go ahead and like and subscribe. We've almost got 400 likes both the past two shows. So can we get past 400 likes, please? Can we get to 4,300 followers on a road to 10K?
If we get 420, Dave will smoke some marijuana on the next show.
Dave will smoke a bong in his garage. Please
do that,
dude. I guarantee we can hit
10K. This does look like a stoner garage.
Yeah, it really does. Next show, 420.
Dave,
I'll send you a dick bong to do it out of.
Dave, come on, dead serious. If give us in 2 weeks, if we hit 10K in 2 weeks, which is literally unfathomable. Yeah. There's no way. Yeah. Will you hit a bong in the garage on the street?
No, I will not. I will not.
Dave, come
it's
on.
It's illegal. 10K? It's illegal in Tennessee. I'm not going to do that.
David is a man of morals.
Dave,
I will. If we hit 10K in 2 weeks, I will do a show live on location from a random local Dairy Queen. Well, they do not know it. And it's just me setting up shop outside of a random Dairy Queen and doing the show from there.
Can we do the thing kitchen that everyone now does with like the Waffle House where you have to be in it for 24 hours and you take an hour off for each pancake, but we take an hour off for each Blizzard you eat?
That would be painfully amazing, but we'll talk. Let's get to 4,300. We gotta walk before we can run, but we have been having positive momentum. I feel like everyone's brands are doing pretty good. Tuttle's grinding, the the projections and the ownership stuff. And Davis is getting followed by John Hansen.
John Hansen, the creeper guy.
One more time, bud.
Is John Hansen like To Catch a Predator dude?
Yeah. Davis, sit down. We need to talk. So yes, Scott Hansen. Impressive recap. Consider me a new follower, Davis. I don't give you compliments very often. That was the most work you've ever put into any sort of fantasy thing, and I was impressed.
I've been doing it every week, bud.
Well, I didn't pay attention.
Longer than the articles he used to write for Fantasy Insiders, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure longer than the articles he used to write for Fantasy Insiders. So how long does that take you?
Like an hour. But it's stuff I'm doing anyways. Like, I need to know, like, I got to know that stuff anyways because I'm working on projections and making a million waiver wire bids. So, like, I need to know how many routes Albert O is running, like, for my sanity. So it's just sort of publishing. I mean, it's what Gretch always says about stealing signals is like, yeah, it's a lot of work to get it all written down and everything, but it's like stuff he wants to know for playing the games anyway.
Yeah. Do you have any regular or weekly writing assignments?
None. I don't write anymore. Just projections and podcasts and TV. Which I actually love. It's actually like freeing up, like not having to block out an hour to a day to write
except amazing. For the threads. It sounds like you're blocking out an hour for this.
I'm doing other like it's like I said, it's like I'm working on the projections. Like I'm doing this stuff anyways. Obviously I gotta be multitasking at all times. Well,
the reason I know you're multitasking because I have a message in a group chat today at 1:42 PM. Drop Pickett for Zach Wilson, drop KJ Hamler for literally anyone. It's nice to get to see a front row seat to your multitasking, Davis.
On the show.
This was 2 minutes ago.
I knew he was like not into it. And then as soon as we talked about John Hansen, he was definitely into it.
It's not his name, bro.
All right. We have been talking about internally, Tuttle, the running backs, because our projections have the running backs receptions pretty hot for these player props. You know, we've got Parlay IQ going, but it's not just like our stuff. It's everyone's stuff. Like it seems like running back receptions are down across the board, comparatively speaking to previous years.
Well, is it just a spread out thing? Like everybody was talking about timeshare.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Field opportunity is down for running backs. The other thing that has been really killing Jimeno is the QB rushing props.
Yeah,
because any sort of variation,
any minor
already
adjustment,
small number, it's gonna pop as some amazing bet.
Well, and the thing you don't think about until you're in charge of doing projections is like, oh yeah, Tom Brady doesn't run at all. But actually, when you look at it with like, you know, quarterback sneaks and everything, like when you're really trying to get down to it, I mean, you got to project Tom Brady for like 7.5% of the Buccaneers rushes, and then depending on the other minute crap you have in your model, like how it adjusts to totals and stuff, is like you could end up 20% off of Tom Brady over 3.5 yards rushing or whatever and make it look like a 5-star pick, even if it's really not.
Yeah.
Peter, we talked about last week just if the first round wide receivers went off and the running backs didn't, what would happen? You know, would this narrative continue? And it was kind of a mix. Would you agree?
No one scored points.
Well, Derrick Henry did, and you know, he was drafted in the first round. So and Davis, you even put that his target share was something to monitor. It was definitely interesting.
I don't know what the question is, Dave.
Can we just get the overview?
Dave wants to do a referendum on like structural drafting strategies right now. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Talk about Derrick Henry? Just give him his credit.
If we redraft today, he's an early third round pick. He's been a disaster.
A disaster? You're calling week three a disaster? All right.
A blind squirrel finds a nut, Kitchen.
Okay, well, find your nuts and do the Overzets overview, please.
All right, here's the deal. This is what the people come for. David Kitchen famously lit a fire under my ass a few weeks ago. Was I phoning in this segment? Absolutely. But now I am here to deliver We have a pretty light week again on this main slate. Only three games with a total over 50. We do have the premier matchup, which is going to be the Ravens versus the Bills. Who is the QB1? It will be settled today versus or Sunday versus Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. And then we have two sneaky games with an over 50. Cleveland, Atlanta, Detroit, Seattle. Derek Carty's dome boner is about to go fully erect on these games. As we head to the QB position, it's almost a studs and duds QB. I would like to say the middle tier doesn't even exist. RB continues to be a desolate wasteland. Jamal Williams has, dare I say, thrust his way into the running back chalk this week. That was good. Top end wide receiver is a little thinned out this week because we don't have the Bengals wide receivers. We don't have the Dolphins wide receivers. We don't have Justin Jefferson. We don't have Cooper Kupp. We don't have Deebo Samuel. And good luck finding value at wide receiver. The cash game grinders are going to be very excited to jam a 5,800 Brandon Cooks. Nate Noling has a boner for that one already. And as far as tight end, the field is going to jam Mark Andrews as the only play that feels good. In the GPP bros, will martingale Kyle Pitts for the fourth week in a row.
Hey, he almost got there, dude. He almost got there.
I mean, I think that's good. I think we can log off after that. I think that just...
I'm trying.
Well, there are two very big questions this week that is the first thing you have to figure out before you get deeper into the pool. One would be, at what percentage do you just say, I'm not playing Jamal Williams on my spy team? And then the second is, at what percentage am I not paying Khalil Herbert on my spy team? And will I play those two guys together?
I think David Montgomery's going to tough this out. He knows he's going to get cut, He's going to go out there with...
He is absolutely not letting himself enter a Wally Pipp situation. Well, then that bears the question. If David Montgomery does play but is banged up, knowing how much the Bears want to run, is like a 3% owned Khalil Herbert a galaxy brain play? Or actually, I mean, and this totally gets into like astrology type stuff because I'm not running The Sims. I don't know. But my inclination would be that Herbert is like a pretty good galaxy brain play if Montgomery is active but banged up.
It's also one, too, where we haven't gotten this spot yet this year where the guy's projected in all week and then you get the late scratch at the last second. Yes. Where people haven't been talking about Herbert and he still comes in under-owned relative to what he should be.
Boy, yeah. The whole Montgomery situation last week was bad for the cash game grinders that played him.
It didn't matter at all. Literally did not matter. He was like 85% owned in the $50 single entry double up.
Matt Collins is the only player that mattered on DraftKings last
week. One of the biggest L's I've taken in my life was Matt Collins getting.
He is Matt Collins after 30, all, I think is what you said.
34.5 DraftKings points, which is so obnoxious because Dobbs was so clearly the nut wide receiver play and had a great game. And it literally didn't matter, which was one of the most aggravating things.
It's almost like signing a cornerback off the street that week was not a good idea for the Titans. But I felt bad for him. Some of the Matt Collins catches were like legit good. And then the one
down the left sideline was very impressive.
So, all right.
Kyle Canton's old neighbor, Matt Collins.
Yeah. We should have known when Kyle led with that. We should have just jammed him.
Okay, talking about quarterbacks, Peter, you kind of mentioned it. As far as the quarterback situation, there's a big range as far as salary goes on DK. So strategy-wise, where do you think you'll end up?
Well, I think it is going to be really tough, right? Because you either decide on playing Hurts, Jackson, or Allen, or I think you want to be down in the Mariota, Geno Smith, as gross as it sounds, Jared Goff here. I mean, the mid-range does not look good to me right now. Like, I don't want to pay $7,600 for Kyler and how broken they are. I mean, he doesn't have AJ Green this week. How's he supposed to score any points? I'm either going up or I'm going way down.
I'm not playing these dusty quarterbacks.
I'm disappointed in Peter. I was really hoping to see if David would tout Geno Smith or not. So far, the only time he's actually
this is the spot
him.
To tout him.
Yes, that's why I wanted to see if he would.
Points per baller. I wasn't going to say anything, though.
I wanted to see if he would, because he's only touted him against San Francisco so far this year. And he was actually semi in play this week, or last week, and he's semi in play this week. But David saved his Geno Smith tout for 7 points against the 49ers.
Last time the Seahawks and the Lions got together in the Dome, our dear friend Jess Liam won $1 million. The two teams combined to score 80 points. I mean, I'm ready to run it back.
Yeah, you've got – I just said last week I would only take athletic quarterbacks. And so I think Mariota, that was a pretty good play last week. We talked about Justin Fields, and I get it. Like, it's bad.
No,
it's really bad.
No, David, we did not talk about Justin Fields. You talked about Justin Fields.
No, I brought him up. I mean, I can only – as a host, I have to bring all the options.
There are like six playable quarterbacks: Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Kyler Murray.
Did you play Derek Carr week one, Davis?
Cash games are like, this is not what we're talking about. And I swapped to Trey Lance.
Yeah, you swapped Trey Lance after the first round. Okay, what about Trevor Lawrence?
What are you hoping to get from these guys? Like, can Trevor Lawrence even get 30? Seriously.
Not against the Eagles, I don't think.
Yeah. Like, you're like, okay, play your, like, little Jared Goff, Marcus Mariota teams, get 21 points from your quarterback and lose by 30 to Lamar. It's just not worth it.
Quarterback's not a point per dollar position, David.
Hang on, I have to ask for Davis. For tournaments, are you presupposing that efficient ownership would be roughly 33% Jalen Hurts, 33% Lamar Jackson, 33% Josh Allen?
Probably like 30% Josh Allen, 40% Lamar, 20 to 25.
Okay, that's what I meant by roughly.
That's literally what I think. I believe that like 15% projected ownership, that is totally inefficient on all three of those guys.
Josh Allen
and Hurts had bad games last week, like ran super bad and got 30 each.
Does the quarterback ceiling stop then after Herbert and Murray, if you throw those two in? Is it like downhill from there?
Maybe you could see Wentz, which I can't even believe I'm saying, but like Wentz just has enough of that like hair on fire bullshit that he can get 32.
What are you doing?
Jared Goff has more hair on fire bullshit than Wentz.
What? You can't wave all these plays and then tout Wentz Goff as the guy to win it.
So Goff has on the year 11 rushing yards. Carson Wentz is averaging 22 rushing yards per game. Can rush for a touchdown. Like it's not the same thing.
I kind of agree with Davis here.
But let's also
You think it makes me happy? Like Carson Wentz should be in jail. It does not make me happy to bring him up. And it's just a horrible matchup for him this week.
The Lions have almost a full 10-point more implied team total. I think it's ridiculous to say Wentz.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this. I'm not considering playing either of these guys. Like that is below my line.
What if your hair's on fire?
Yeah.
So if my hair's on fire, I'm going Wentz over Goof.
But I just – for you to suggest that the optimal lineup construction was with these three quarterbacks, you are just basically assuming one set of strategy as far as the lineup construction goes, and that's high-priced quarterback.
I mean, for – these other guys to beat for Lawrence, for Goff, for Mariota, you're having to probably double up on expensive wide receivers, it's 3 week sample. I could totally be wrong, but what I could say is that these mid-tier quarterbacks are like literally getting doubled up on points by the really good quarterbacks.
I guess it is interesting in conjunction of what are you using. I mean, it is meaningful salary savings. You're saving like almost $3,000.
For sure.
But top end wide receiver is pretty gross this week. You got Diggs. People aren't that excited to play Devontae Adams. Maybe the opportunity cost isn't as high, or it's harder to make up those points if we don't have the elite ceiling wide receivers to do it.
Yeah. You know who might be one of the top owned wide receivers this week? CeeDee Lamb.
Stephon Diggs.
CeeDee Lamb.
I don't.
And
think
Davis. No, Davis. Some people said.
I hate to agree with Kitchen, but I think he is onto something here.
Some people said in the past that he wasn't very good, Davis. That they just
I heard someone on this show said that. I don't remember who it was, but someone said it.
Someone on the show doubted the validity of
people have had this completely brain dead take. It's actually pretty popular that CeeDee Lamb's not a real number one wide receiver. He actually needs a real alpha next to him to free him up. And it's like
someone came on the show and actually said that this summer.
Someone. It's hard to say. It's hard to say who it was. But he might not be an alpha.
I agree with that.
It's a total brain dead take. At 19,
he might not be an alpha.
At 19, he scored more touchdowns than Hollywood Brown, who's 2 years older than him when they were both.
Well, Hollywood Brown's far from an alpha. I mean, why are we comparing him to Hollywood Brown?
We're talking about a college offense. Like two first round wide receivers, CD scored more touchdowns at 19.
All right,
than Davis.
I know that you're making threads that people are following, but we got to keep it a little bit focused. We got to do the DraftKings lineup now.
I do have a hard out today. I'm doing the cage match with Smith, so if you guys can respect my hard out. Well,
Smith's
hard out.
Smith can chill. Just wait for it.
Okay.
Let's see. Davis, you can start since you worked so hard on that thread this week.
Let's go Justin Herbert, who athletic quarterbacks, I would, what do we think he's in the spy, Pete? 5% maybe?
I'd say, yeah, probably less than that.
It is funny how we just touted just the hype, the quarterbacks that you wanted or the low price quarterbacks. We said we did not want any mid price quarterbacks.
I include Herbert in that group.
Davis goes right to the middle. All right. Justin Herbert. And did you want to stack that, Davis, or just leave it in?
Yeah, big Mike.
Okay.
Leave it to Davis to chew through 14 of our salary in just one fell swoop.
All right. As Peter said, there's tons of value wide receivers out there this week. So, okay, Peter, you're up.
Well, this is how you stick it to Davis. If he is going to jam this high price, this is how you stick it. There's only one logical bring back. We're not doing
Nico
a negative
Collins.
Game script.
I agree.
Nate Noling, I'm channeling him. Put in Brandon Cooks. What a point for dollar.
Well, all right. Wow. Pete really hoisted me with my own petard there.
You deserve that so much. I hate Brandon Cooks, but I only did it to stick it to you.
The nerds can't figure out Brandon Cooks and his 35% target share.
Brandon Cooks is one of the biggest money, like one of the biggest psyops of our time. Somehow
this
is a 31.
This is going to shift the Frito-Lay snaps and snack series. I can feel it already.
Okay, Tuttle.
Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton is still too cheap for what he is.
It's actually a good take.
Okay. So what are we left with then as far as salary goes?
We got 4,700 left on average for the rest.
Plug in a cheap defense. So we get a better view.
Little Titans defense versus Matty Ryan. That would give us 5,300.
Yeah, okay. We will go with I don't want to play Jamal Williams, but I feel like we almost have to. Actually, we'll just play Ramondre, right? That's the cheap running back.
Well, I have a feeling that's bad juju on the rest of our lineup, unfortunately, because he only correlates with my lineups that lose. He is clearly the man there, though. I mean, he's just much better than Damian Harris.
Okay, Peter.
All right, let's get a little mini correlation in. Josh Jacobs is too cheap at 5,500.
Wow.
I just selected Brandon Cooks and Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that's
Josh
Jacobs. Bad for the brand.
We need so we need to clip this. We need a clip of Pete selecting Brandon Cooks and Josh Jacobs for the small cast lineup.
Just like last week, we had to clip Davis defending Sammy Watkins as not being old and dusty.
Here's the thing. By the time Sunday morning rolls around, I'm talking myself into 1.3% owned Galaxy Brain plays. This is the one time I can just jam guys with some projectable volume.
But Jacobs probably won't even be a chalk play this week because so much of the ownership is going to get eaten up by Herbert and Williams.
Yeah, I just still don't think the Herbert thing's actually going to open up. But yeah, if it breaks that way, for sure.
Okay, Davis.
So we need a tight end. I'll let Tuttle do the fancy flex play. Tight end is somehow gotten worse than in years past. Like I don't even know how it's possible. I would expect Njoku is probably going to get steamed as the week goes ahead. They're playing against Atlanta. He's coming off that big game. So we'll go a little bit of salary leverage on him, and we'll select Evan Ingram.
That's how Trevor Lawrence gets to 30.
I also would have accepted Gerald Everett.
Super stack it?
Yeah.
What about Bellinger?
No.
You're just going saving on salary.
No, thank you.
Puts us in kind of a weird range for Tuttle.
That's Tuttle's MO, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out best way to make this work.
We can get Hollywood Brown.
There is an obvious play here.
CeeDee?
I don't know if there is.
Yes, there is. The grown man.
I mean, okay. I actually... Yeah,
he's Metcalf against the Lions, buddy? Did you see that touchdown catch last week?
I didn't, and I needed another one if I was going to cash anything. So screw DK.
he had one, but his foot was out of bounds. But he had.
I think
one.
What I would actually do here is go the non-grown ass man in Tyler Lockett.
Lockett,
and upgrade then can we defense. Upgrade? Defense or Evan Ingram. I'm not sold.
You could get up either. To you could get up to Goddard if you go Lockett.
You could also go tight end Bellinger at 2.8. Gives you enough salary for Eckler.
And that's I don't know flex. If we want to super stack with Eckler. Mm.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
So what's the official? People are duping this. People are winning life-changing money with these lineups. What's the official play?
I personally like Goddard, Lockett, and then...
Me too.
26.
Davis, are you okay getting bullied off of that shitty Evan Ingram pick?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, lock it in.
What's the defense? What defense are we doing?
Titans. Defense looked great last week.
Dave had some hesitation on the Titans defense when it was mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you
He's
can't
constantly
really feel...
wavering.
You
Titans.
Can't really feel good about the Titans defense after last week. Like as far as the secondary goes, they're hiring, they're bringing guys on like literally from the street to play over the guys that they have. And so that can't be a good thing.
I want to just piece of breaking news. I want to set, I'm not going to tell Tuttle what his terrible take should be, but I just want to say the Seahawks just placed running back Travis Homer on the injured reserve. I'm setting you up for a terrible take later. It's the
13% on Rashad Penny, one of the plays of our time.
One of those players in the backfield might be the rookie, would be the one who might start catching some passes.
Oh,
that sounds like Peter wants to give his own terrible take here.
Well, I don't know. If you're not playing Kenneth Walker in GPP, send me a head-to-head GPP this week.
I love how you wanted to give it to Tuttle, but really, you just wanted to say it.
No, Tuttle's probably right. It probably is just fucking DJ Dallas.
Yeah,
it's
just DJ Dallas. That's who they played last week. Because Homer got hurt early-ish, I think, right?
I don't know. I wasn't
sweating. I think it was, and then DJ Dallas just stepped in.
Okay, let's talk about running backs.
Let's talk about
Peter.
It's so gross on the high end. I do really think people, the only back up there with, as far as JT McCaffrey and Barkley, that people feel good about right now is Barkley. Also coming off of that big game on Monday Night Football. So I think we're going to see a lot of Barkley, Jamal Williams lineups. And otherwise, I would just rather live in the low end sub 6K. And it does seem like the field in general, we already have all the narratives. The high-end running backs are flopping. They're not paying off these price tags. So I think everyone's going to be down in the dumpster bin sub 6K this week.
Like, do you not think that there is some sort of case where Christian McCaffrey gets 30 against Arizona?
A little bit of speculation. He's dealing with an injury right now.
Ooh.
But even if he wasn't, even if he was, you know, taking his multivitamins and doing incredible, you know how everyone says the Bears are like the worst team in football and they're running this offense from the 1960s. They have 23 completions through three games. The Carolina Panthers through three games have run four more plays than the Chicago Bears. This is not the McCaffrey that we know and remember. DJ Moore is not a tournament play. You're not doing cheap Baker stacks. Like, this is, I mean, if we're drafting again today, I don't even know if McCaffrey is a first round pick.
They're using him like he's Derrick Henry. They're treating Christian McCaffrey like Derrick Henry.
He's got what, like 11 targets through three games or something.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Derrick Henry because Davis, in your thread, you said Derrick Henry ties career high with five targets. Extremely interesting for fantasy is the exact thing you put.
That's when Scott Hansen actually pressed the follow button when he read that nugget.
Here's the thing, though. He actually had six targets. Maybe you should.
The PFF box score had him for five.
Yeah, maybe you should have spent a little more time researching. But that being said, if you say he's extremely interesting for fantasy, wouldn't that mean that he might be extremely interesting for your daily fantasy lineups this week?
I like imagining Kitchen, like the guys at the baseball game that put a different K banner up for every strikeout. Dave puts an empty Blizzard cup up for every Derrick Henry target. I know there were six because I had my six cups out.
What I would say about that is that Henry's range of outcomes includes so many 8, 9, 10 point games that I probably need to see like multiple weeks of that type of usage. Cause it's not as if we've never seen them throw Derrick Henry a screen before, right? Tannehill throws Derrick Henry a screen. Everyone loses their mind and goes, why don't they do this all the time? And then it's like Vrabel just sees Derrick Henry get the ball in space and then just like closes his eyes. And it's like, you know what? Let's never do that again.
He was getting some targets last year, definitely more than he was the previous 2 years. But what you're saying is that you need to see lots of targets, lots of points where salary goes up even higher before you can consider paying him.
I mean, at what I would expect to be 4%, 5% ownership in tournaments this week, I don't think it's the worst. What I would say is that I would much rather play Chubb than him in terms of a guy who I expect to do it just via the ground. And the only thing that would cause me to flip flop on that would be if Chubb was like 10, 11%. But I don't think he will be because of what Pete was saying. Like, it's just all going to be Saquon and Jamal Williams. Like, everyone's just playing those two guys.
Tuttle, pick a high price running back.
Well, I kind of want to talk about my guy, JT.
Okay. So that's your high price running back you want to talk about.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting that, like, so he was obviously like super popular last year, dominated last year, and you could argue his usage has been better this year, at least as a pass catcher. So it's eventually coming. So yes, the RBs in general are kind of sucking this year, but I think JT's usage of the ones that are sucking is most encouraging, and it's going to break out soon. It's just a matter of when for him, I think.
Can we talk about Eckler though against Houston this week? Like,
so his usage is the most concerning.
He has the same usage as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, except he's not getting the goal line work. Like, it is.
Yeah, but
like,
wasn't there garbage time last week though? Like, where
he is yet to get a carry inside the green zone this season. I mean, three games, no touches inside the 10. Like, what are we doing? He's Nyheim Hines, dude.
His interview with Harmon too is kind of like made it sound like that's just going to be the case.
What did he say?
I forget what it was verbatim, but it was basically like, yeah, we got other guys that can do that now. the coaches are going to make it more challenging on me. I got to book it from 10 yards out or something like that.
They've been saying for months, like, it was why they drafted. That was the thesis behind drafting Isaiah Spiller in the 13th round, was that the team straight up told us they want someone else to run in between the tackles. And it's like literally telegraphed, like second and two, you like Eckler gets there and just like immediately gets off the field. Cause you know, Sony is coming in to like fumble, you know, it's just, but that's just what they do.
I do think, to David's point, I think an Eckler overcorrection is coming. We see it all the time where they just, you know, teams don't get the ball to their good players enough. The hard part is that it's, you know, we would want to take a stand on Eckler when it's going to be a close game or the Chargers are going to be trailing and throwing the ball more, not where they're just going to grind running backs on the ground all game. That's not Eckler's strong point. So it's not the greatest matchup for him. So I kind of hope he sucks again and then maybe jump on him in a better matchup. But I don't know.
He's also just so expensive. Points per dollar has to be one of the worst values at running back.
I got an 18D chess play. AJ Dillon against the Mac Jones-less Patriots. Like, they are not going to be able to move the ball at all. And even more so, Tuttle will vouch for this. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even want to drop back and pass if he can help it. If he can just hand it off to AJ, like if Aaron Rodgers could go into a game with zero passing attempts, hand it off to Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon and just leave, he would do it. Tuttle, this play that the Packers run, I literally, if I see it again, I'm like going to write a strongly worded letter. The play where they, and they've done it both ways. So they have the split backs in the shotgun, Jones and Dillon, each side of them. They send one of them out on, I don't even know what the technical terminology is for it, but he goes behind Rodgers and the other one to pretend like he's going to run a screen. And then they hand the ball off to the other running back going the other way. They did this no less than six times against the Buccaneers. Did not gain a single yard. We got it. We have to stop this.
We
got to
get the All-22 on the show.
A segment on the show where Davis explains football plays, and we just have to guess what it is.
Davis sounded like Dennis Rodman in The Last Dance, where he's like, oh, go, and then
it's a very simple action. One running back goes out to run a route. The other back runs in isolation to the other side of the line of scrimmage, and it's the worst play in football.
My favorite is Davis.
To Davis's point, I don't like the Green Bay running backs. I think are fine tournament plays. Aaron Jones is cheaper on FanDuel. I think
they keep playing AJ Dillon on third downs, which would probably drive me crazy if I wanted the Packers to win a game. But I mean, that's good for our purposes.
Yeah, Davis trying to explain what in motion is was one of my.
But it's not a regular motion play. Motion is in front of the quarterback. He's like running the beginning of a wheel route.
Okay. Let's talk about some cheap running backs. We talked about that game against Houston. What about Houston, where Damian Pierce? I think last week he outtouched Rex 22-8. Clear running back two for the foreseeable future.
David is literally just reading my tweets. This is a good bit, Dave. This is a way to make sure that you have
in the NFL pretty cheap.
This is actually a great way to ensure that Dave has done research for this show, is just to make him read those tweet threads, and at least he'll have something when we get to every position.
He doesn't have his virtual assistant doing it for him.
No, last year was Sosa, and then it just like the guy just scribbles basically by the end.
Damian Pierce has turned it. I went all in on Damian Pierce week one with the thought this would be his usage, and it's finally.
Well, now you saw week. Yeah, now you saw week three. Like, I mean, I feel like you get it. But all right, so Jamal Williams, if Swift, well, Swift is out.
Swift's not
if
playing.
Do we just play him? Is he just the obvious cash game play, Davis? Are you?
No, I'm playing him in tournaments too. I don't care. Okay. I don't care.
Oh, Davis. Swag Daddy in tournaments. He's going to be like 35% owned.
Too low.
Oh, God.
running backs. I mean, someone won $1 million with Jeff Wilson Jr. Like, it doesn't matter. I will play.
That's the point. It doesn't matter. So play any of them. Don't play the popular one.
I'll just play. I will Bengals defense it with Jamal Williams. My astrology take this week is that Jamal Williams will not be owned enough. I mean, Jamal Williams is projected as the fourth highest scoring player, skill position player of the slate. I mean, I don't care if he's 35%. At what? Yeah, okay. Let me put it this way, Pete. If Amon-Ra St. Brown was 5,700 and he was 35% owned, would you play him?
Dude, I full faded Leonard Fournette last week. What was he, 6,500? He played 100% of the snaps.
I full faded Leonard Fournette too. Because
how is that different?
Because they were playing. They're a worse team playing a better defense. The total in that game was 39.5. Totally different things, in my opinion.
Okay, we got to move on. Peter,
this is actually a good transition to wide receiver in my terrible take.
Okay. Let's hear it.
DJ Shark.
This is a good take.
Okay.
Leverage.
No practice for St. Brown today. And I have a feeling that the few Galaxy bros who would play another Lions wide receiver would actually play Reynolds based on what happened last week.
I think for this take, though, you want the Sun God suited up and hobbled more than anything.
Agreed.
Yes.
Because people will slide over to him if Amon Ra's out.
Peter, you're talking earlier about trying to find value in some of the wide receivers. You know, you've got Zay Jones, 11 targets. Not just that, though, also had a red zone rush last week. Only 4,200, I believe. Also the Giants situation now with Shep, who was their leading target guy. Like, where are we going as far as value this week?
Yeah, it's tough. Although one that I did just see, Rondale Moore practicing today, 3,800.
He's kind of a lock if he.
Oh man,
What if he plays and then Dortch just takes all of his snaps?
Well,
probably actually what will happen.
the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about that the Arizona Cardinals could run out the shortest offense in NFL history with Kyler Murray throwing to Greg Dortch, Rondale Moore, and Hollywood Brown. You know, stack all those guys on top of each other and they're not as tall as Calvin Johnson. Like, it's because A.J. Green hurt his knee. 35-year-old A.J. Green's not coming back in a week from a hurt knee.
I think that's the interesting speculation is what happens outside receiver if Rondale plays. Do they keep Dortch on the field or do they play Isabella?
Antoine Wesley rises from the dead.
IR. They're going to play this guy, Andre Bacalia, that they have on the practice squad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Isabella got 23 routes, I think, last week.
That doesn't help the thesis of them only playing guys who are exclusively 5'7 or shorter.
Okay.
I mean, Rondale's a lock if he plays, I think.
So what question, about though, the Giants? We do have to monitor, like, if he's going to be limited. I fell for the I fell in the showdown trap of, you know, the Davis, your thing, a bad play, a play so bad it's actually good. I went the KJ Hamler.
It's one of my favorite bits.
I went KJ Hamler, and he was very limited back from injury. Very limited.
I don't think he's been targeted yet this year.
He has.
Not good for the Bags. I will say that Richie James Jr., it's Rich James, bitch, sitting there at $4,000. I mean, you just pencil him in 5 for 50. Like, he's not going to score. He's not going to do any better than that. But he's definitely getting 5 for 50 against the Bears.
If Tony's Scott active, didn't he could follow legit. You
to hear that kind of language, Davis. I mean,
yeah, God. Don't clip that, Sosa.
We think Tony's eventually going to happen, right?
What choice do they have? The coaching staff has to play one guy they hate this week, Kenny Golladay or Tony. And I bet they hate Tony a little bit less because at least you can look at Tony and be like, well, you're still good. You know, like at least they hate Tony, but at least he's good at the game. Golladay, they hate and he's bad.
Right. I think this could be the week. You want to get on Tony.
The week before. Yes. Right. Yes.
Also, when is Juan Dale coming back? I mean, my God, dude.
he didn't practice today.
because he's the guy too, with as much as disdain that they have for these other guys, like if Robinson ever gets healthy, like he's going to step into a massive
and he was the guy who was picked by this regime. I mean, they drafted him way ahead of consensus in the second round.
So we know Diggs is going to get his. Pretty sure that AJ Brown's going to get his this week. Is there a squeaky Will narrative with Devontae this week?
I think it's just that he's a good at football and their best path to winning narrative.
Kitchen's brain doesn't work that way. You got to give him a story. You got to give him a story to get him on the
place. What's squeaky about 11 targets a game? Just can't throw him the ball for whatever reason.
Well, he's not catching the pass. I mean,
No, they're not catchable.
Right. 5 receptions, 36 yards, 2 catches out of 7 targets for 12 yards. And that was with that 1 yard touchdown. So I don't think anyone's going to be playing him this week.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Give me the Devonta Adams, Cortland Sutton second.
That game is going to finish 17-10. There'll be combined 32 completed passes. Josh McDaniels and Nathaniel Hackett are going to like challenge each other to who can have the worst clock management. I mean, 11-10 is the like the Broncos are bumming me out, dude.
Here's the thing though. Game finishes 17-10 and you still wouldn't be surprised if
Devontae
and Sutton both had really good games. Yeah. So think of the outcome then where the game actually shoots out a little bit.
Yeah. I have a take I need to get off my chest, and I haven't had a spot to do it yet. Does any quarterback make the absence, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder more than Jimmy Garoppolo? Everyone's convinced he's the ticket to the 49ers winning the Super Bowl until they watch him in an island game and then everyone remembers that he stinks. Like, it was one of the fastest whiplashes I've ever seen of people being like, well, now the 49ers have a chance, and then being like, holy shit, Jimmy's terrible.
It was the RotoPat tweet right before that drive. He goes, and now coming up, the exact reason the 49ers tried to replace Jimmy Garoppolo, and just like right on cue.
Okay.
That was all.
Did you want to tout Treylon Burks, Davis? You predicted a breakout week for him last week. It did not happen.
Dude, it's so coming. He led them in routes. He led them in routes run. He got an end around and a crosser and a deep target all in the first quarter. And then somehow Robert Woods must have found the Lazarus pits at halftime because he ended up leading them in receiving. But what I wanted to see was with Kyle Phillips out, what would they do? Would it be, you know, Austin Hooper and Jeff Swaim? Would they just try and do the Nick Westbrook-Ikhine thing? No, nope, they just went all in on Burks. So pretty sure it's coming for him.
All right. Reminder, if you're watching this on delay, or if you're watching it now, right after the show ends, just go ahead, refresh, leave a comment for us. We had some pretty good comments last week. People talking about Peter's great show. My intro, also that I'm the type of person that your mom makes you hang out with.
That's
in the neighborhood.
That was the best.
Yeah, that was the best. Where it's like,
I know it's good when Peter discussion. like Peter instantly retweeted it.
That's why I have notifications turned on. I have to sift through a lot of shit, Kitchen, but every once in a while, there's one tweet that's worth it.
I mean, it's not wrong.
How are those casters doing on your desk, by the way, Kitchen?
They're doing really good. Really good. Yeah. Just wait till I become – just wait for it, basically. All right. FanDuel lineup, we got to go build it now. Tuttle, go for it.
I just wanted to get two more wide receiver takes off real quick.
Okay.
So bad that they could be good. A Pittsburgh receiver – is going to do well this week. It's just matter of who.
Love it.
Claypool. Pickens is cheap, though, too. Claypool I like. But then the Zach Wilson or Flacco out, Wilson in. Elijah Moore week.
Yes.
So give me an Elijah Moore and Claypool stack.
I got one more terrible take real quick. Gabe Davis played the ninth most snaps of any wide receiver in regulation in NFL history last week. He clearly is there. Second guy behind Diggs. Diggs keeps taking all these run plays off. We're very soon to 180 yards, 2 touchdown Gabe Davis game.
The courage it took to have that take tied to Josh Allen in the best game of the week, Davis. Truly a terrible.
He'll be max 11.7% in the spy. 11.7.
Did you see his cleats last week? Was Prison Mike the Office cleats?
He's funny. Gabe Davis is a funny dude.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do FanDuel. And Tuttle, you're up.
Caught me off guard. I'll go with my JT take from earlier.
Okay.
All right. Jonathan Taylor, 8,700. Peter?
Let's see here. All right, let's play a little mini on the other side. Let's get our Treylon Burks gone.
Hey. Okay, Davis.
Do I go straight to jail if I play Nick Chubb on FanDuel at this insane price?
I played Brandon Cooks and Josh Jacobs. It's 'tis the season.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to. I mean, you can play whoever you want on FanDuel, so. I'm going Nicholas Chubb.
Nick Chubb is 9,200. This is Nick this Chubb feels really Nick, bad.
I don't know which one of Hunt or Chubb is gonna punish Atlanta. There's probably an equal chance of them both doing it, but Atlanta is going to get punished by those guys this week. It's gonna be bad.
You have to literally scroll down our projections to Nick Chubb.
That'll change. I guarantee you by kickoff, Nick Chubb will be projected for more than 14 FanDuel points.
I would like to congratulate Davis on this take, because you tell me 5 years ago that Davis would ever tout a more expensive Nick Chubb than Christian McCaffrey. Would have never happened.
Yeah.
And that will totally have an impact on his ownership on FanDuel this week too. In fact, you know what, Dave? I'm going to deposit on FanDuel to play this week.
To play Nick Chubb.
Dude, you got a direct line from your Dapper account to FanDuel?
Yes.
To slide the funds over?
No, I actually won 125-1 same game parlay this last week. So I just have a bunch of money sitting in PayPal and need somewhere for it to go.
Hey. All right. Taylor, Chubb, and Burks. So we do have to choose be a little bit more selective.
You can play Mariota, Dave.
You can put in the Raiders defense, Stoneman.
And then I'm looking at some of the wide receivers, and okay, we'll just play CD.
Yeah, he's cheap.
Why is the Raiders D Stoneman?
Davis, first time playing FanDuel?
First time? But it just doesn't make any sense. Like, the line is not even reflective of.
Here's what's going to happen. This week, Davis is going to deposit on FanDuel. He's going to win. Next week, he's going to be like, why are these lineups so bad?
I know about FanDuel salaries every week because I still play with Goulet. So I still know they're bad, but that one is particularly bad.
Okay.
The greatest mystery is why there are more whales on FanDuel than DraftKings.
Because it's not even like FanDuel market, so that has never made sense to me.
I've never understood.
Like, why is Denny Hamlin playing like 30K a slate on FanDuel? It is
the thing. Like, I feel like out of my like normie buddies or people that I talk of, like they know they play on FanDuel. I'm like, really, FanDuel? And they're like, yeah. I think it's just that. I think in our little bubble, it's kind of like the underdog and best ball. Like, but it's a lot of people play on FanDuel just because that's what they know, and that's it. All right, Dan, you're up.
Should we lock in a quarterback or something?
This lineup is probably begging for some Cooper Rush, dude.
shoot, I don't know what to do here. I'm actually gonna go. You guys probably won't like this. I'm gonna go Kyler and Zach Ertz.
Wow. I forgot Zach Ertz was in the league.
I don't hate Kyler.
Didn't he have 10 targets last week?
I know. I just
tight end is gross this week. I mean,
he's on the field. He gets targets.
Cardi right now has Kyler projected for fewer points than Jacoby Brissett. So I'm going to guess he's still working through some things this week.
all right. So, let's see. Peter, do you want to bring it back with Carolina player?
I'm doing it. It's gross. Everyone's going to hate it, but we need to bring back, and it's DJ Moore.
DJ.
Just plug your nose and do it.
Go DJ.
Fine.
If you would have had this lineup like 3 weeks ago, you'd be like, there's no way you could fit all these guys in. And now it's just like, yeah, okay, we still have 7,200 left for a flex. So
I just wanted on the record that like I'm not playing the Panthers until they figure this offensive stuff out.
I just want this on the record that we're going to ship the FanDuel Millie with this lineup.
Yeah. Davis, there are doubters and there are doers, bro. Get in line.
So Davis has the flex pick here to end us.
7,200.
7,200. I was gonna say on FanDuel, it's like literally you could just play like any number of guys who are first round fantasy picks. I am going to select Devonta Smith against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Are we almost leaving 300 on the table?
Almost took Khalil Herbert just to tilt Peter there. Just eating chalk Khalil Herbert on FanDuel.
I mean, I'm glad you went with a wide receiver. I think I would have gone with Mike Dubb or DK Metcalf as the one off, but I don't mind Devonta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can, I mean, there are so many ways that you get around. You could also
there's so many ways to win on FanDuel.
You go down from Chubb if you wanted to and play everybody else and upgrade that flex if you wanted to. So, all right. Real quick, tight ends. We talked about Ertz. Anybody else you like for tight ends, Peter?
I mean, you're not going to believe this, but I like Kyle Pitts.
He had a 50% target share in the first half. It's coming, Pete. Don't kowtow to the cowards.
The only other – where do you guys think – because Hawkinson is one of those guys I'm fine playing when everyone's off of him, but he's been priced so low that now he's, like, showing up in optimals and now more people are playing him.
Hawkinson?
I don't want to play a chalky Hawkinson, but I will play, like, a sub 7 or 8.
Well, he was showing up in optimals all of last week, too, even
that's
with
the
Monroe St. Brown in. Yeah. I just – it's like what – like, literally, it's like he's – office space. It's like, what would you say you do here, TJ Hawkinson? You didn't do anything.
Well, that game is going to be popular, and if Amon-Ra is healthy, same like logic as the Chark play, you know, if people are going to be playing it through Jamal Williams and Amon-Ra, and then you can leverage that with touchdowns, and he's cheap, 4,100.
I would never play TJ Hawkinson as a mid-tier tight end when Kyle Pitts is below 6,000.
Trust me, I prefer Kyle Pitts, but I do think it's good leverage off the chalk in that game.
Okay, Tuttle, any tight ends you like? Pete.
Thank you.
Davis mentioned Njoku earlier on DraftKings. He's cheap. I like that. I have to give it to Davis. We called his Evan Engram pick shitty earlier. I still think it's shitty, but he is showing up in a decent amount of my early week blended optimals. Mark Andrews, what's the ownership on him going to be, and is it high enough?
It's got to be over 20% in small field stuff, right?
I will.
Because this week is ugly for sure at tournament.
I will recant my earlier take about the quarterback ownership not being efficient, even with these guys being chalk. It'll go the other way with Andrews, where the lack of tight end points will be in people's heads so much that they'll just be like, I'm just clicking Mark Andrews. Whereas if you really want to get disgusting, how about playing Lamar with leader in targets per route run at the tight end position, Isaiah Likely?
Wow.
Is that the biggest leverage play you've ever seen in your life?
And then Josh Oliver's gonna score the touchdown again.
I thought it was Likely. I didn't know. I don't remember what number he was. I thought it was him. I was tilting.
That actually, circling back, talking about leverage plays, if that thesis is correct on Mark Andrews, which I actually think, I do think you're right. I mean, Bateman is going to be a smash
mega leverage. Yeah. Would you play Duvernay? I mean, he's got eight targets.
I'm not a Duvernay guy, and he keeps shoving it down my throat.
Well, he's got eight targets on the year. The thing that's interesting though is he, in my opinion, is a good wide receiver. I mean, he had 113 receptions his final year at Texas. So like I've always kind of thought he's good, but they just keep rotating their guys so much.
Okay. I think that will do it for this week's Swolecast. Tuttle, did you give a terrible take?
DJ Shark.
Okay, that's it. All right, there you go.
Thursday night terrible take. Davis is a week early in Mostert captain takes down the Thursday
Ooh.
Night.
Mostert played more than Edmund. He should have gotten there for us. It's a good take.
I cannot get him and Herbert right in my season long. Tough scenes out there.
Yeah, that's why zero RB doesn't work, because Dave can't right. nail his start sit decision.
That's right. They don't tell. They don't warn you about that.
Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb.
They don't warn you about the you know, the emotional damage done by not putting the right running back two in your
line. Dave, right, let me tell you a little secret. Let me free you. Let me free you from the shackles of start sit indecision. Choose a projection source and then play the highest projected starting.
I literally did that. Mostert
then
was.
Then it's not even up to you. It's not even up to you. Then just let it go.
It's still tough hey. When your bench guy outside.
How about one of our co-manage a main event team? This is not with Pete. We do a little poll in our group chat. Who do we start, Bateman or Devonta Smith? Everyone answers Devonta Smith last week. Co-manager forgets to click save, and we get Bateman's 5 points instead of Devonta Smith's like 37, and we lose by 4 points.
Brutal.
Shout out, establish the run's own Chris Lafficus. Thanks, bud.
I was going to say Leone. All right. Final take, Davis.
You know, I don't have anything as strong as I did last week with the Chiefs being clearly the optimal. The only thing I have to say is that I think you are giving up a pretty big structural edge to the field with the Goofs and the Mariotas of the world, and that playing cheap running backs and finding a cheap third wide receiver is better than sacrificing a quarterback.
Okay. Peter, final thoughts?
Final thoughts, efficient ownership, 33% for all of those top three quarterbacks, 100% Mark Andrews, 100% Jamal Williams. The cash shell has been revealed.
He solved it. Pete solved it. He solved DFS.
All right. I think that will do it for this week's Swolecast. Make sure that you are liking, subscribing, leaving comments. We also need a few iTunes reviews. Maybe we'll read some of those off next week. But I appreciate everyone watching and, you know, commenting and just telling us everything we need to do. Also, I reached out and wanted to know about a particular pickleball racket, and I got recommended the Onyx Z5. It's a good midpoint starter paddle. Peter hates pickleball, but yeah.
It's a good day, Dave.
Shout out to Hello Mom and One. Shout out to everyone else for watching. And we'll see y'all next week here on the Swolecast, RotoGrinders.com. Peace.